exchanges are. Now, Steve and Fatima exchange the two pieces we must be responsible for. You know, Genesis, I've been liking the to the state. I just probably the Genesis can be we just talk to them. Just very quickly, I've taken them through your amendments, right? Now, the, as I explained to the meeting, you've added 2 points to the judge's report. We refer to all the stakeholders. And we need to provide a response to my new. Then we added Steve's very useful point in 6-6. He drew from the annual report and we agreed on that. Now this 6.6 from the data from the air. No, you know, thank you very much, Captain, and good morning to everyone. You know, we took the approach from our committee to say that we invited your comments, and this report must come from you. We will endorse this report and accept anything that you want to do, because we invited you to say, come and look at the tenders awaiting time. So we will take instructions from your comments. That is what we are saying.
Not instructions, we're working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will take instructions from you two when you agree with them.
I'm a prison warder, I'm a soldier, that's why I'm using this word.
But basically, I think the point you make here is that, and you're right, that the judiciary where possible is an alternative sentence. So on that 6.10, any comments? Okay. And then, CCN, we added from our side, utilities also raised the humanity of the channel, the 6.12, here is my
experience.
What does ECG mean? Oh, right. So we just put that in. So just say another question, and I will submit. And then there was the suggestion from correctional services, so they should do collaboration and the public and the public social administration needs to help people to say. In 6.14, this panel's proposal on intersectional functioning. Okay. But the recommendation is that the first time I'm doing that, I was just going to raise that point. Very good. You see, for consistency, we'll do a quick edit. Don't change the stuff. Like, everything. I'm not using, like, for example, something to do with consistency. We need to sit down here and have lunch with you while you're sorting it out. Okay. So basically, as you'll be happy to do that, but the notion that the correct system, okay, we will do an edit and calibrate this to the last quarter to our system. Okay. I move on to the second question.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Then the next one, we can just look at the proposal. You will remember in our Trinity report, which we all have, there are some rules that are lurking in the
we do.
The first version went out and then there was one minor change. Okay. It says simply, for those of you who don't have it, the House Chairperson for Kalashi and ICT in the Speaker's Office, Mr. Jeff Doyle, has on several occasions raised with the Chairperson of this committee the need for progress reports on those bills. Did Jeff Doyle record it? The Judicial Office of Amendment Bill from 2001, the Child Justice Bill from 2002, and the Supreme Court Bill from 2003. So in consultations with the Chairperson, Ministry, Department, and House Chairperson Committee, that's right. The Committee reports as follows. The Judicial Office's Amendment on point 1 will not be processed by the Committee in the form it was originally introduced to Parliament. Through deliberations by the Portfolio Committee and subsequent exchanges with the Ministry, it was decided that the Judicial Office's Amendment... Does that mean one more person for a column? Is that right? 1, 2, 3. Can we go to column? 3, 8, so we got a quorum. Is that enough? Oh, we got enough, yes, that's right. Okay, we're going to vote on this in a moment, which is why I checked the quorum. So basically, it's essentially saying nothing fantastical, yeah? It simply says that through deliberation by the Portfolio Committee, the previous Portfolio Committee, when I was in Sherry, and subsequent exchanges with the Ministry, it was decided that the Judicial Office of Amendment Bill would divide into several different votes. Two of which have already been passed, and a third, the Judicial Services Commission Amendment Bill, was adopted yesterday. As the Judicial Office's Amendment Bill has become obsolete, the Ministry has decided to withdraw it. Because it doesn't exist. We will never proceed with that bill in the form that we received it in 2001. Point two. The Committee is pleased to note that a new version of the Child Justice Bill is being processed with Cabinet and President and will shortly be returned to Parliament and be the first of the Committee to process further. We will attend this expeditiously early in the new year. Three, the Ministry is not negotiating it, but is exchanging further. So that's only change, right? Exchanging further with the judiciary and other stakeholders over aspects, put the word over aspects of the Supreme Court bill. This process will take it further in the new year. It's proposed that the committee reviews progress in regards to this bill by the end of the first quarter of next year and engage with the committee on whether the bill should be returned, retained in the parliamentary process. Just to remind you, what the Department of Ministry is doing, they're going to do a policy paper on the overall transformation of the judiciary, okay? Which they are exchanging with the judges above. And the minister will come and tell you next year, she has completely exchanged me around, that I think they're going to consult quite substantially with the judiciary. Stream I picked up yesterday and say, look, do the consultation with our life easier. Secondly, the bills that will come now, after these two bills we finished yesterday, they will flow from that policy paper. So, I think at that stage, the Superior Court will be reviewed. Yeah? Making sense of that? If I get out of Parliament, you'll give me a job in the department in 2000. I will mention that I'm not a lawyer. I'll pretend I'm a lawyer. Okay. So,
Having said that, any other comments?
Sure, thank you. Just on the issue number two, the child justice bill. I expressed concern previously about the delay in that bill way back from 2001, and that we, a number of us, have been approached and are promoting what is clearly a parliamentary bill. The interests are paramount that it is passed as quickly as possible. And it ties in with the whole issue of awaiting child prisoners in jail as well. Now, my one concern is I've raised it at a number of budget hearings as well. The minister said it's coming back. If it's now released from our role here as Parliament, and I understand the rules argument that you raised, we then have no control over the matter at all. Or do we have any? If that paragraph says it's coming back early next year, mindful of the fact we've got elections in 18 months, there's a good chance that it might just not come back. So, sure. Just in view of the...
It went to Cabinet last week, Cabinet Committee. Last week. It's going to Cabinet this week. It's like today, right?
Yeah.
It's going to Cabinet here. So, in fact, I am told that by tomorrow your bill will be ready to go to the State Law Advisors for final certification. In fact, the Minister will even probably might be able to slide in public hearing. To be seen to ascertain that's not going to be possible. So I know, let me not tell you more than
sure,
I know.
Sure.
There's a lot of pressure from above.
Yes.
And some of you might have vaguely heard, there's a conference taking place sometime in December in some remote parts of the country between the 15th and 20th of December.
Yes.
And everybody's under pressure.
Yes.
So forget these about your concerns. There are concerns that are even more major.
I understand.
Okay. Yes. So the bill is actually with Cabinet right now, as we said. And there's your concern. That being said, can we vote on the report of the where is it? Oh, okay. All right, then we go to the next report, which is the report on the department. Now, I hope people are not disappearing. There's some important things. The British MPs are coming down 1 o'clock, and those of you who are not members of the committee want to come, you're more than welcome. The research should be there, the committee takes just very quickly. The British MPs are going to be at 1. That's if they get here on time. It's a very big squeeze. We can't go sit down lunch for them, because we're rushing to the house. So we'll have a single lunch, where is it? Where is it? Ewing. Okay, I need to speak to the lady. Whatever happens, we must deliver the soup at the same time as the first course and the second course. We out of here by 10 to 2. Now, what we have to do then is at 2 o'clock, we can't exchange in the second floor restaurant. So we need to get at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock the house sort of rises over the joint sitting. At 3 o'clock we meet with the MC again, is that right? That is where? It's a dreadful venue, this, you know, it's also very we should not sit like this. Let's find a more congenial.
Old assembly room.
Old assembly, yes, we say.
Let's talk some people.
Find them more, this looks like hierarchical. Sorry? Yes, that's precisely why I don't want to be here. I'm asking. But let me put this to you. You know, the British and others treat us very well when we go there. So let's just be here in our full numbers. Carol's going to lead the discussion. I'm not talking about the cabinet as well. What? Now, William, this is off the record. What the hell is going on with the So, I will pretend like I'm the blonde dog. I'll be the dumb blonde. I will, in fact, say nice things and say welcome and all that. And Carol will lead the discussion. Okay? And then you can speak to Mr. Johnson. Of course, you are very involved in the constitutional assembly process, don't you? So, you will speak immediately after Carol. I think I'll say a few words and roll out. She's got other words to do. So, in short, it's nice to have a multi party representation. Because they're a multi-party delegation. Secondly, this invitation is for all of us this evening. That's what
it was, but a number of us can't make it because of the short notice.
Absolutely. I know, I'll be got the notes. I'll do the legal laugh until I saw it. I'm supposed to welcome. For what? Not really my. I'm not the host. It's really the host. I think the minister is trying to confuse here. Can you bring more constitutional things that. When the minister is hosting people, it's a minister that welcomes them, not the chairperson. I'll bring that up.
Chairperson
can't be the last. Sorry?
Chairperson can't be the last.
That's a fundamentally controversial. I think that's good. We're getting out the report of the Christmas Jew. Okay, on the report of the department, you got a letter from me on Monday morning, pleading with you to make submissions. And I gave the first half of the report to the department to look at to see the facts are correct. They had a few changes, very minor, and all correct. And then we gave Carol the editing. Now, Carol has the style she and I never gave to be. She's more formalistic. My editor will be so impressed with her. But I think we should have slightly more activistic style. So the only difference Carol you'll see, I think you know, 3:45 this morning. So the only difference you'll see is slightly stylistic. Now, as members, please don't raise this thing because we're gonna, I'm going to die on a ditch about this. I don't care about the transformation of the tradition. Really, I feel very strongly. The committee is on the view. No. Me. See why we? I think Carol's going to agree. She's more activistic. The committee is an abstract concept. We mean, we members of parliament, we are also accountable to the public out there for the commitments we make. So those stylistic differences, Carol and I won't agree on. But for the rest, the content, Carol, thank you very much. Christine, thank you very much for the initial draft. The recommendations, obviously, I have to rework, okay? So let's go through the report. The only sections we have to look at this Monday are the underlying sections, and most of them are Carol, very correct. But slightly slowing down the process. Like on page 2, that's Carol, okay? Which arranges the media in grant. Carol, in order to improve port security. Carol, correct port facility. Carol, lowers the risk of attempts. Now, that's the content one that everybody would see. Carol, again on page 4, because of the extensive consultation. Now, this I didn't understand, Carol, and that's proper consultation with the relevant. No, this is the department. They explained that the reason that they've been held up on the legal services charter is that proper consultation has to take place with the relevant role players and stakeholders within the legal profession. Do we agree with that? I think we do. That is how it does.
No.
Well, why not?
No.
Those particular services.
What? So what version are we dealing with? The draft one?
Draft 21. Well, I don't know what we do then. We'll have to defer this. But it's not acceptable. It's just the, I mean, honestly. Okay, the next report is the legal aid board. Right, the legal aid board sent us a very long reply to all the questions that Colette Isaac has. I must tell you, it's a very good reply. So we basically send this to members for 24 hours. This is the thing to make it. You should be able to get up to them. It's a very nice reply. Now, on the report itself, it's the same report that you got yesterday morning, but for the changes. Now, this one you have, it says draft 221 November. Legal Aid Board's annual report for 2002-2003.
Have you heard this one? Got draft one. Has anybody else got draft one?
But this one, there are very few changes compared to the department's one. Because Carol is looking.
T25, the legalist board explained that when they try to expand their national footprint, it's including through providing greater access to justice to indigenous people in areas previously not properly covered, especially rural areas. Especially rural areas. That came from the board itself. Then 3.9, they added that regular meetings were also held at the provincial law and the law society of South Africa. It's a factual thing, as I say this. Right, now look at our views and recommendations.
Sir, can I just ask 3.17 quickly? When I went through it, 3.17.
Yeah.
It says, in this regard, staff turnover rate was 2.27%. Of the 532 staff, now surely that can't be 2%. That means you're going to have about 10,000 staff members. Is that correct, do you think?
Yeah, maybe we can just check. I think that would be the figure.
Maybe we can just check up on that.
Because it's a minor thing, it's a factual
sure,
thing. If you have to vote on that, okay, can we check that? But on the recommendations, I'll take it a little quickly. One is we're saying that the legal aid board has made significant progress over the past several years, and we commend it, okay? We said that absolutely for its turnaround strategy. We feel that noteworthy that the board records, you see, I'm very careful in the choice of words. I don't say we agree. It's chosen carefully because it's noteworthy that the board records an increase of 5% in new matters and 14% in cases finalized. I believe them, but the research is a dubious. And having read her, you get the report she sent me. I emailed it to you this morning. But you'll find it quite compelling. The way they define new, finalized, other cases, I think Sue Ann's right, but they're also right. It's a difference of terminology. I thought they were trying to sort of slightly, you know, spin. But, you know, it's a very interesting, I'm very impressed with the CEO, not because I know her from my UDF days. She's just bloody good. She's very good. I mean, you can't get a quality of report like that from somebody who's not driven, somebody who's not focused, somebody who's not directed. She's very good. I mean, it's wonderful, a pity, something you see, very good replies. Maybe there's a bit of polish there, and so on. You'll discover that. But for what it's worth, she's good. Okay. Now, the committee understands, we say that, you know, we got a very good submission from Judge Rambo and Vidu. But the quality of what they said to us, according to us, we congratulate them on their unqualified report. Certainly we say that, look, their report to us was much better than the annual report. Why don't they reflect the same quality in the annual report as they reflected in the quality of what they said to us, basically say? But interestingly, she replied, because she says, I find out what they're saying. Their specific targets, interestingly, and their specific time frames are not in the strategic plan. It's in the yearly business plan, in terms of that strategy plan. So we said, why don't you bring the business plan to Parliament? And secondly, when you report in your annual report, report in terms, just will just be too many minutes. But sit down on the seat. So why don't when you report in terms of your business plan? Then they do have an organogram on page 16. Can you remove that? It is organogram. Then the committee needs to engage further with the board and how it records progress in respect of cases. The need for it to be clear about what exactly it's recording. And this requires particular to where it records new finalized and pending cases, the point just made. Then the 5.4 says, you know, they don't bring these legal aid guys to the committee because the department doesn't sort the matter out. So we're saying in 5.4 that the board has raised this matter of its guys, yearly guys, with the committee and the ministry, but nothing's happened. The committee will raise the reasons why this hasn't happened, and the need to present the guide for approval by Parliament as soon as possible. 5.5. The practitioners are still inadequate. They want it 2 per court. We recognize the financial constraints, but we will urge that this matter be taken into consideration by the department. 5.6. The perceptions regarding the quality of the board's legal services seem to undermine its work, and we note what they say. 5.7, we say on civil work, our tentative view is the board should increase its civil work, 5.7, but we need to engage in the department and stakeholders and what the difficulties are in this regard, because none of the departments in strongly shouldn't. So let's hear them. The committee will come back to the board on this matter following the necessary consultation. Is it true, by the way, that's a question mark, the board's enabling legislation makes no distinction between civil and criminal cases? Is that correct? No? Are we sure about it? Are we sure, Christine? or shall we drop that hint? Or shall we mandate Christine to check this out, and if it's fine, we leave it, otherwise we remove it.
Mm.
Is that okay?
Yes.
5.8. On indigent people, people who are poor but not indigent, we feel this matter of indigent injustice services should be addressed, okay? Welcome the initiative of the SAPS to see how the respective systems can be linked. The committee notes in 5.10 the challenge of confronting the board that they set out for us, and we'll look at this and come back to them within 6 months. On the employment equity issues, we're not impressed. We will come back to that. Now, this is the point. Shortly before the committee adopted its report, which is yesterday, we received from the board CEO a useful, precise, comprehensive reply to several questions put to the board that could not be dealt with during the annual report briefing. This submission by the CEO is attached as an annexure to this report or is available from our committee secretary. I think we should just make it available from our committee secretary instead of taking a long report. So I thought you would agree with it. So can we take out his attached and say it's available from our committee secretary? The committee will engage further with the submission at the meeting proposed within 6 months. That's it, and we thank the legal report and thank Stephen as well. There's nothing here that's outlandish. You didn't. You had 24 hours to work on this. I don't limit the time. Can I expect it won't happen again? But we have to deliver 3 reports. And the research unit, myself, and the panel have to work flat out. I hope Jeff Joyce is working. I finished at 3:45 this morning. Well, does that mean an increase in salary? Or can we put this report for adoption? Please, second one. Okay, good. Thank you very much. We've got Mr. Joyce now. Can we deal with
We didn't adopt the report on both of those things.
Will you come?
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
I think we did.
You see that now, right? It's exactly the same. The only thing is that engage rather than negotiate with the judiciary. Right? You got that yesterday morning. So before we do, let's invite Mr. Deutsch. He's very busy, as you know. It's a bad week for him and others. But he's here to tell us very quickly about how we are supposed to manage those and why we cannot have those, if you like, parked off in the committee for 6 years and longer. Okay, Mr. Joyce. Why don't you come and sit here?
You normally email me at 3:45 or 1:45 in the morning. I've been missing your emails.
You email me back at 3:09 in the morning.
That's normally when you get our work done. Shepherdson, thanks for this opportunity, and I think it's long overdue that we clarify some of the issues, and I'm happy to say we've got some of the media here as well and other officials from the department. And maybe it'll just assist us if we look at what's going to happen next year, and we'll come back to particular cases before this committee. There's a committee called the Joint Program Committee, which sits once or twice a year in Parliament. And this year it sat on the 14th of November. It agreed on a program framework for 2008. That framework is public information, it's on the website, and it's available. And in that particular, on the basis of that particular framework, presiding officers then inform the leader of government business on the deadlines for legislation. The deadlines for legislation are not some such, it's in keeping with the constitution that says that there should be time limits for processing legislation in Parliament. So it's not only the MA, it's the MCOP. Based on that particular directive from the Constitution, the presiding officer then has to submit to the leader of government business correspondence that says these are the time frames or the deadlines that we are considering, and in fact it has now evolved to a situation where the presiding officers inform the leader of government business of the time frame. Parliament divides its time into a number of different sectors. It deals with members' time, it deals with executive time, it deals with all sorts of other issues. And when it comes to executive time, that is negotiated and communicated to the leader of government business. Now, the deadline for next year, as an example, if a bill needs to be passed by the 27th of June,
The bill needs to be tabled in Parliament in either of the houses by the 11th of February. And if your bill needs to be passed by the 24th of November 2008, it needs to be tabled by the 2nd of June next year. Those are the deadlines for next year. Unlike this year, we've had 4 deadlines. Next year, we have 2 deadlines. So once this has happened, your bill then needs to make the deadline if you want it passed by the 27th of June. If it doesn't make the deadline, Parliament is under no obligation to pass it within the first 2 terms of the year. It will do during the 3rd and 4th term. Parliament in both houses. Then we outline to the Leader of Government Business that there are different sections of legislation. There are sections 75, 76, etc. Now, when it comes to the various sections of legislation, there are various cycles that apply. The NA is bound to a 4-week cycle. The NCOP is bound to a 6-week cycle. And of course, you know, in this committee, there's no bill that ever comes to the Justice Committee that complied with the 4-week cycle. It's never been the case. Now, what happens on a weekly basis is the Joint Program Committee is divided into the National Assembly Program Committee and the National Council of Provinces Program Committee. They look at the detailed program of Parliament for the various houses. The National Assembly Program Committee, as their counterpart in the NCOP, meet on a weekly basis. There has to be a progress report on a weekly basis on what is happening with legislation. Now, when a bill is stuck with a committee since 2001, you can imagine how many times you've reported on that particular bill 7 years later. So we then inform the chairperson concerned of what the provision is in the rules. The rules are very clear, that if you cannot meet the deadlines as outlined on what the Constitution requires and what the rules require of us, then there is a procedure you have to follow. You have to apply, the committee has to apply. In fact, the rule is specific. The person, it refers to the person concerned, has to apply for an extension. Now, what's been happening in the case of this particular committee is that I, on your behalf, have religiously been applying for extensions for I don't know how many years. Sometimes I'm asked on what basis the extension is being applied for, what the holdup is with the bill, and I don't know. So you can imagine the situation that I sit in, but we've done it nevertheless. On the 14th of November, we did it again for you. We submitted an application to have an extension for legislation, and we then, it was a bit open-ended, we said we'll review progress by the end of the first term, which is a little bit unfair because we don't know what the issues are in the legislature, and maybe that could be a committee decision. Now, when we give advice to chairpersons, we are very clear about what options are on the table. Firstly, we quote the rule. The rule says that if you do not meet a particular deadline, the House has to vote on legislation. Whether you like it or not, the House votes on the legislation and they take a decision and the bill is either passed or rejected or whatever it is. We have not applied that rule. In fact, I shouldn't say we, I should say the National Assembly Program Committee has not applied the rule. So we always advise chairs that there are several options that are available. There's that option, apply the rules. You either negotiate at the political level whether the bill needs to be withdrawn, and several bills have been withdrawn. There are several bills that were withdrawn last year that have never come back to Parliament again. The PIE bill that was before housing, you know, that was withdrawn. There were several other bills that have been withdrawn by ministers. There's been incidences where bills have been withdrawn with the minister sitting in the waiting bench going to take the podium and a decision has been taken that the bill be withdrawn. It happened to the late Minister Dalla Omar. There was a particular bill that had to be withdrawn. So it's not the first time that Parliament would have, or the executive would have withdrawn the bill. But we consult and we advise the chairperson that look, these are the options that are available. We then leave it to the politicians to decide. Whether you want to withdraw the bill, are you consulting further, what are the time frames, and we are guided by that process. So it mustn't come as a shock to you when we say these are the options and one of them is to withdraw. There's nothing out of the ordinary about it. That's the advice that we give, and we give it to many a committee. And sometimes it has assisted the committee when we put the facts on the table, suddenly there is a knee-jerk reaction and things begin to happen. So that's how we deal with that issue. But what we would like to see is,
from the committee section, from the committee itself, it's aware of the deadline for next year. These are also made available through the National Assembly Program Committee. If you are unable to meet the deadline, we would appreciate you initiating the process of applying for an extension rather than it happening through the Office of the House Chairperson or through the committee section, because they are not the best placed people and they understand the details and the intricacies and the complexities of the bonus. If that can be done in good time, we would certainly lend our support to that particular process.
Thank you. Very
quickly, any questions? Chair, just very quickly, on the particular issue of the Child Justice Bill, I think the impression is created that we were sitting on the bill, which was clearly not the situation. We were waiting for the executive to pass the bill in terms of the rules as before, but the final draft. So I think we need to correct that perception and just mention, and that's why we agreed to that process forward, with the understanding that that bill is coming back on an urgent basis. Thank you.
Good. I think it was basically a briefing, but can I just clarify one thing? The day after I became chair of this committee, you let me know the Assembly Chamber. Right, Rob, remember? The first thing you raised with me is you left the country. So, point two, you refused initially to agree to our program until we clarified what we're doing about the bill. Point three is you sent me an email saying, look, what are you doing about this bill? Point four, a committee clerk rang me from the table and said, Mr. Karim, where are these bills? I said, what bills? Point five, would you agree, it does not reflect well on a committee. It does not reflect well on a committee, whichever committee it is, that a bill subsists or percolates somewhere. And this is not the norm. And that we should avoid this situation. And that I would like to suggest to committee members, unless they're going to present a vigorous argument to the contrary and we'll defer this discussion, that our approach in court is going to be this. Once a bill comes to us, we programmatize it. So that's a new word we have to do. And then if we are unable to deliver on it because the executive is unable to attend to it, then we negotiate with this particular thing and we engage with it. But we do not take responsibility for those that actually we cannot proceed with. Is there any disagreement with that? If there is, can we note it and we'll discuss it next year? But that is the way we should do it. And the same rules apply to all committees. It's my view. Whether it's finance or SCOPA or this committee, let's say the committee that has maybe the biggest load, or it's a committee that has very little legislation, the same rules have to apply. So henceforth, we will, if we cannot deliver because the executive is unable to do its part, we will engage with the executive. And we will apply the rules. But do I take it that we're not going to have a situation of 6 years later a bill has not been hanging in the air? It reflects badly. Well, fortunately for me, my term will end if I last that long, April 2009. But until now, in April 2000, while I'm chairing, and this you can quote me on page one of the business day, make it the biggest story. It's the most important thing they say. To the extent I survive. Well, you know, politics is very volatile. Until 2009, this issue will not arise. Somebody else takes over here, they need to do what they want. Okay? So, you're telling me when I'm leaving for Mongolia.
I was going to say, look, I sorry for coming in late. I'm with what Mr. George was saying. But I agree with you on the approach from the committee side. I think, obviously, the committee should be providing reports to the House Chair Committees and through him, them, to the Speaker's office. But I think the issue of whether a bill is, whether a minister is asked to withdraw a bill or not, is something really that, I mean, the committee can express a view on. But the deadlines and are set by the presiding officers, the rules or the responsibility of the presiding officers. So I think there would also be a role for the Speaker to write to the minister or the leader of government business, raising concerns if a bill has effectively been passed. I don't think it's so much for the committee to pass a resolution or try and get a resolution passed in the House saying a bill to the minister must withdraw. This is also, I think, very much a role for the presiding officers to play in this regard.
Chairperson, I think really what we are saying here this morning is let's use the available mechanism. Don't don't allow a situation where the court goes to the National Assembly Program Committee on behalf of your committee that you have received. The committee is not aware of it. The information we get, we trust that it's committee information, you are aware of what's being reported. But sometimes I bump into people and people will say, but we don't know what members will say to me, you know, my member says that this is happening on the committee. Then we have to report what's signed off. And I think you must use the mechanism, the facility. The POs obviously will take the route that Mr. Jeff is suggesting. Once we have an indication from yourself, then we can make some interventions. And there have been cases where there have been correspondence between executive members and the presiding officers. And sometimes it's even correspondence from the public complaining about those that are part. And we have to respond to that.
This one in particular.
We use the information that's available to us at the table in the formal meeting of Parliament, or the committee of Parliament. So, yes, we must use these mechanisms effectively.
But there's an agreement that ultimately the speaker does have a role. And finally, can we move your evidence that Comrade Chesley will not harass the chair until the first quarter of the year? Just because at 3:09 in the morning by email.
Unfortunately, I have to chair on a weekly basis. Put it in your diary. 1 a.m. on Wednesday or Thursday morning, I will email you and I want to
respond. Shall we thank very warmly T.S. Lewis? We know he's a lot to do. But that's clarified issues. Finally, can we move for the adoption? The word exchange is being the only difference and over to make it dramatically correct this report so it's done. And so until the first quarter of next year, we will...
Is it possible to add the words that subject to it being lodged, the Child Justice Bill, by the 11th of February? Would that be too pedantic? But I mean, that would be my view, but I'm not going to formally suggest it. Because according to the time schedule, that bill is ready, we assured it's ready. And according to that schedule that you've just been given, by the 11th of February, bills must be tabled in Parliament to be dealt with in the first term.
But in the next week or two, in fact, Laurie and I are going to sit with the...
Okay, I'll accept that then. No, okay.
The majority feel that way is quite money. What do you feel, Jeff? Do we need to put a date in? So, because that bill has gone to Cabinet before.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I think
it's in Cabinet today.
Sorry?
I think it's in Cabinet.
Yeah, today.
It went to the Cabinet.
Yeah, it's going to be probably going to...
But you could maybe say something about the traditional court store.
Right, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll talk one thing. Yeah. Judicial officers became two bills, am I correct?
Three, actually. Two of them.
Yeah, forget about the other. But I mean, those currently before.
Judicial
Services Commission. And does your document mention the Magistrates Amendment?
No. Yeah, I checked and spoke to Johan. Johan will explain. Johan said, when I worded that, I checked with Johan after you mentioned.
And I also checked with him, so...
Okay, can you
report to me? Okay. Well, look, I mean, Johan can correct me, but he's shy. I mean, there is the component of the original judicial officers bill dealing with magistrates that has not been covered. But my understanding is that from officials is that will not necessarily come in a separate bill. It might come in a broader bill, but maybe Johan can...
maybe I can help there. The original judicial officers bill did not deal with discipline and proceedings of magistrates at all. The committee started, when it started embarked upon the redraft of that bill, to eventually come to the Judicial Service Commission Amendment Bill. The committee thought at the time that it would be very good to have a mirror of those provisions also applicable to magistrates. So that resulted in a draft magistrates bill being prepared by the committee, but correct me if I'm wrong, the impression was always that the committee would eventually approach the National Assembly and deal with that as a committee bill. But formally, no such bill has ever been introduced, and until such time, there won't be such a bill.
The magistrate's amendment bill, which I think our team is taking to you, because of the pressure of time, was going to happen, but it's not like bill. So can we just put that in as part of your report, Jefferson? That falls away because somewhere in our records on a weekly basis.
I don't want to just do it. Let's just do it. I really don't want to hear from you again about this matter. So which is the sentence that says something like, look, it says it doesn't negotiable and then moreover, furthermore, but the magistrate amendment so the proposed manager has fallen. Oh wait, what should we say? How do we already did it?
No, it wasn't on that. It was more on the judicial officers bill.
Yeah, okay, so I'll put that.
Simply says the effect of it is that the proposed magistrate amendment bill also lacks or has fallen away.
So we want to the magistrate amendment bill has never been formally tabled or considered. I think it's more like that.
So that makes sense.
The point I wanted to make more was judicial officers. I mean, I'm not sure what you're saying, whether that must be withdrawn or...
It's become obsolete the ministry has decided to withdraw.
Well, my worry is there anything to withdraw? Because effectively, I mean...
Yeah, there is a vote, 2001 vote.
Well, it's empty. You know,
so let's not anyway, take the I think the common person, think of Wyndham.
Huh?
What does he understand?
Wyndham was asking me about...
He's going to write an article.
Wyndham was asking me about...
Okay. It simply reads, and let's defeat J.J. on this, as the Judicial Officers Amendment Bill has become obsolete. Now, you may not have said obsolete.
No, I know, that's very
weird. Can you explain to him? The ministry has decided to withdraw it. Full stop. We know J.J.'s objective, I think.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Tutu, I don't know. I mean, look, basically the process, and then Mr. Ruderman can but the Montenegro Commission make recommendations regarding the salaries of magistrates and judges. In terms of the law, the salaries of magistrates, judges, and constitutional judges, the president does a draft proclamation which has to be approved by Parliament before can be rejected. So what we have been sent by the Speaker is the draft proclamation for judges, magistrates, and constitutional court judges, those together magistrates on their own, sent that by the President, and we asked them to approve that. So it's effectively come from the President acting on the recommendations of the Commission. But maybe, so it's not strictly speaking from the Department, but maybe Mr. Ruderman can give further background.
That's correct. That is the process that needs to be followed. It must be approved by this committee and then be referred to the House.
Yeah, you've got a copy of the proposal, right? It's, I'm afraid, in the filing system. Found it, but let me look quickly.
I'm just going to say something.
We've got representation. Okay, here it is. I've got the gazetted version, is that the one?
No. Just, I think, just
yeah,
copy. But this only relates to judges.
It should be two, one for judges, one for magistrates.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. Yeah, is this the one, determination of the, is dated 15th of November, right? To let it to Madam Speaker, and then the proclamation, and then it sets out the schedule. Those are the three things you have to consider.
Well, that's the judges, and then there's a separate one for magistrates, which if we don't have, can the committee section get urgently?
So on the issue of the magistrates, but before we
some have got magistrates.
Somebody's got magistrates. Again, Lolly's, at exam, and what's in the overcast? It's not fair on Parliament. To do this at the last minute like this, it's not fair to me. Alright, the last week of Parliament, and presumably the presidency is aware that these things have to happen. And it was only introduced to Parliament when.
Okay, I mean, basically, I think as members will know from their own remuneration issue, the Commission made a report. Which is submitted to the President in, I think, about June. There were then objections or concerns raised by a number of quarters, and that were referred to the President. The President's response was to refer the matter back to the Commission to consider the concerns that had been raised. The Commission then reported about 3 weeks ago to the president, largely standing by their original proposal. The president, after considering it, decided not to implement the recommendations at this stage and decided that he wanted to or asked the commission to advise on an inflation-linked increase for the public office bearers and the magistrates and judges, basically the people he's responsible for determining. The judge, the commission reported back last Tuesday, recommending a 7.5% increase across the board. So from the, I think that explains, and then the president, you'll see the date of the things he signed that on Thursday. So he got the recommendation from the commission on Tuesday, he signed it on Thursday. So from the president's side, I don't think there can be any blame. It just happened that way. If there's any blame, it should be with the commission for taking its time, but they did also act expeditiously once they, when they received a request about advising on the inflation increase. So it was sent to Parliament on Friday, today is Wednesday. I would have thought Parliament could get it back together to distribute the document. And effectively,
just
for
the last sentence, just for the last sentence, just people need to, behave like a Parliament should, look carefully at things, no matter what they are. It's not about the evidence, which I must just begin, not to the responsibility. Can I just say, one, it's that, to provide the context, this is slightly unique circumstances. The subject of what you're saying is not likely to happen again. That's all you need to know. So Bob's comment about a parliament, which you're a member of, is uncalled for. Can we note our strongest comment, which is unanimously of the AGA, not really a fitting of a senior member of the committee and an activist of many, many. Now, can I put to you, before we take this matter further, Fatima Chouhan, in a slightly ponderous but different way, spelling out to me all the issues. This committee forgets what it does. Can we also agree on that? We're not going to forget anything, by the way. Members are going to be required of themselves, all the people and so on, I'm warning you, to memorize these four reports. So when you come next year, you will, every time we engage, say, 0.6664 of the report on the, you know, like the MCA conference this year, memorize the Freedom Charter. I come from the AMC and I'm hoping to convince other members. So, these things are going to, you pass the report here, Comrade Makarani, and you want, presumably, to reassert that report. Let me tell you what she said. In the SMS this morning, she says, she should check out the magistrate services. She suggests what would be approved. However, the following concern is noted in terms of the procedure followed. On the 3rd of November 2006, the committee, implying this committee, Mark, this is not senior member of this committee with longest institutional memory. On 3rd of November, Imam, you were here, I'm sure, because you always attend meetings, the committee approved the report. You haven't uttered a word about it, which was later approved by both Houses of Parliament, JJ, both Houses of Parliament. In this regard, specific attention was drawn to clauses in the relevant legislation that outlined the procedure to be followed in the determination of judicial officers' salary. Now, Baba Delport, do you remember all this? Specific reference is made to the following adopted positions of Parliament. Document to be handed to you. You're the same Dr. Delport that was here, presumably, you remember last year, Dr. Delport, and you were the senior member of this committee. Also, you said, as part of a collective, it's also recommended any proposal in terms of Section 8.5 of the Commission Act and any notice referred to Section blah blah blah, the Magistrates Act, submitted to Parliament must be referred by the Presiding Office to the Portfolio Committee and Select Committee jointly for consideration of the report. The report of recommendation of the committees must thereafter be tabled for adoption. Now, thereafter, Parliament's recommendations and comments must be immediately forwarded to President. Only after these processes, the decisions have been followed and upon approval of the House of Parliament, should the final determination be published in the Government Gazette. Now, she suggested, and I'm putting this for you, that we accept the proposal, but we point out, make reference to this, and then I write to the Speaker on behalf of this committee to say that we should follow the procedure that is provided for. Comment, please.
I'm a bit lost. I'm not sure how we haven't followed that procedure.
Well, I'm told we have.
In what way?
She started out in four parts, and actually reading part four. She did a map for me and so on. But being very slow and dim with it, and overburdened with these reports that Carol burdened me with all her changes, I actually thought, why should I
the Christmas around the corner, another 3 months to think about it. Burden myself. The committee took the decision. It, when I was happily in public enterprises, took this decision. It was a counter itself for its decision. See?
Is the issue not the issue of prior to the gazetting by the state president? I think that's the history of the matter related to the whole issue of motor vehicle allowances. And we had that whole inquiry. And the problem there was that, if I remember correctly, it was gazetted before we had consideration. And there was a major problem with budgets and concerns. There was a commission's report on car allowances where they granted it. And there was a huge outcry from the prosecutors from various other units that led to an inquiry which resulted in that report. So I think that's the bit of the history. So we needed, and I think the idea was, before that final determination is made, we need to understand the implications.
Yeah.
If the salary increase had been much larger, there are implications for the other sectors, the prosecutors, the legal aid board, who would all want to suddenly become magistrates, and that's the main concern. Thank you.
Chair, I mean, what happened last time was that there were problems with the procedure, both on a number of quarters. The one was that the report was not referred by the Speaker to this committee or the NZP Select Committee. It was simply tabled in the, put on the order paper in the House. So my understanding is the committee's report was addressing that point. To request, which it can do to the Speaker, when you get the draft report, please refer to the committee. She's done that. So that was followed. The second issue was that there was a problem last year, and I think the year before, where the increases were gazetted before parliamentary approval. That has not happened. What you have here is a draft gazette, which will only be published if parliament approves it. So that's why I'm saying I'm not sure what you haven't done this time. Unfortunately, the Act provides that the president...
I think let's, why don't we do this? Let's adopt these two proposals from the president. And then we'll touch him up here for 2 minutes from now. First, you deal with your criminal law. What?
Criminal law, section is
simple. And then another law. Deal with that, and then there are two options. Am I right? We can do this. One is that we can defer this thing until early next year, so we count a proper report, or B, which I prefer. Why we're here this morning, we adopt this thing. And we attach a report to it. So let's adopt this particular report. Let's adopt these things. Is anyone going to add to...
I would really say let's just adopt it. It's a 7.5% increase, which is what everybody has got.
I mean,
but my problem with the report is that if you look at... I mean, we've got this document for the judges.
Yeah.
If you look at the second page, clause 2...
Now we're looking at the gazetted version.
No,
but now we've got the original version. We've got the magistrate.
I'm looking at the act that sets out the procedure that we must follow. And it says, this is for judges, any person holding office as a judge shall be paid an annual salary at a rate determined by the president by proclamation in the gazette. A proclamation in terms of subsection 1 may be issued, a copy of a proclamation issued under subsection 1 shall be submitted to Parliament with 14 days after, in fact, is this not? After publication. But where's the provision around Parliament having to approve before publication?
That's for the magistrate.
Is that for the magistrate?
All right, but for now, procedurally, can't we agree on the 7.5? When Fatima comes, you know, considering the regulations. Are there? Okay. Right, so can we have a formal move and take it to the 7.5% judges?
Okay. So I was given this is the wrong, the later act.
So the second thing is on the magistrates now, the proposal 7.5. Are the outstanding matters you can tweak it around this report and do it by about quarter to one or whatever. Now, the final thing is unfortunately there's simply hang up, but looking for this to you. When it comes to the report on the department.
Sorry, check us out before that. We've done what we passed now, magistrates.
And
they're two separate ones, so you're voting twice.
Yeah, we voted twice already. Why you were
fine.
Okay. The next thing is let's leave Carol aside. She's a pain, but she's done wonderful work. So all the sections is just a covering of what the department did, okay? with Carol, everything is Carol, yeah? The department made only one point, and I think we can accept it. The point they made was that, strictly speaking, when we look at the third party funds issue, there's a historical context to it that is not being acknowledged, and that actually they, in a way, put it crudely, they didn't dump with the responsibility. And there's a hint that they're never going to be able to account for the third party funds, and they want to hand it over to some agency to manage. So the only section of the department is saying on its representation to us, it's on page 9. Now, you will not have this page, 5.4. Now, this is the one the department says. And this is the new thing. It says while the department recognizes the need for improvement in respect of the financial, it draws attention to the historical context of the current challenge and stresses that it had to perform these responsibilities on behalf of other departments and agencies. And then the committee that recognized that, the committee responsible for section 6.2 billion to the country. That's the only department need to be done. It's their right to present their best case. Now let's go to section 6, which deals with what we think of the department's report, and there are very, very few changes there. All of them came from here. And Carol. Okay. 6.1, we've said this already, right? We can't just meet in a single 3-hour meeting once a year. We should have quarterly progress briefings. And we're going to start next week. Thank you. The committee recognizes the scope and magnitude of the task that the department has to attend to, and is acutely aware of its capacity and other constraints. One of the questions posed is whether the department may have taken on too many responsibilities. Certainly it's not clear to the committee that the department is effectively prioritizing its activities or sufficiently focused on a set of core functions. Is the department being strategic enough in its allocation of energy and resources to its different functions? I cannot really like the question, but I thought, let's leave it because it's a debate we should have. So that's how our question mark of last year gets answered. Should the department really be taking responsibility for third-party funds, or should these be dealt with by other public and private sector structures? The committee will engage further on these broader issues, that's why they question, with the department and consider the department's quarterly progress report next year and its budget review. So come back, friends, we'll just think about what we think. My tentative, very cursory consideration of it suggests that maybe the department should take responsibility for third parties. But I'm not saying we agree or disagree, it's simply signaling a debate we're going to have.
Agreed. No, agree with that.
Point, you agree that they should perhaps not do it?
No, I'm agreeing that it's an issue for debate.
6.3, we feel that with their constraints, they were reasonably uneven. Uneven meaning that in some parts they did well, in other parts they did bad. Obviously, the department needs to improve the DG acknowledges, and consistent with the issues raised in 6.2 above, the committee will engage more rigorously with the department next year on how it seeks to improve its performance. 6.4. The measurable objects and targets in the department's strategic plans are not suitably quantifiable. Recognize the words, Carol, or specific enough, nice words. The annual report and the department's overview of it presented to not adequately relate the department's achievement objects. So I must tell you, this is carefully. Your report to us that your goals specifically relate what you achieve against your specific targets and goals. So we feel that in terms of the FMA, CFMA, the department's annual report should be more closely aligned to its strategic plan and should be clearly drawing the link between the target in the plan and the actual performance. 6.5. There's a lot of information in the annual report. While the committee is fully aware that the annual report must provide certain information so as to comply with the TFMA and to give value to the principles of accountability and transparency, the committee feels that consideration should be given to making the report more accessible and user-friendly. The inadequacies we note are they provide statistics for court performance only until January 2007, not the full financial year. The actual performance does not always address the indicators and targets in the plan. Time frames are not always provided. Explanations are provided why targets are not met in some cases, but not in others. 6.6. We welcome the modernization in the form of the court administration, the e-scheduler, the digital recording system, etc., which we think is wonderful. Presumably those of you who went yesterday to a study tour that didn't take place would have seen that for yourself. 6.7. The committee also welcomes the buildings of the court in transit and doing a periodical course.
6.8, we think the vacancy rate is too high, but we later acknowledge that this applies to that financial year. Since then, as we heard at the scorecard briefing, by Carol, it's come down to 12%. But we still want to look at their human resources plan next year. Now, let's think it's down to 60.9. Seems a big sale, this too. Let's see. 68% of the cases are removed from the control. Now, as Dr. Delport says, the committee understands that there are many reasons for this. It has nothing to do with our department, right? Quality of the investigation of the cases, delays in obtaining forensic results, the accused absconding. Christine notes that 15,000 warrants are responding to here. 15,000 warrants a month are issued for non-attendance of court. Yeah. Hey, for a new guy. That's overwhelming, man. 15,000 warrants, Jay. Did you know the hands up those of you with 15,000 warrants? But how does the case connect, Christine? Because our own committee, remember, no one knows you. You know, the portfolio committee. Then they might make a speech or something and say the chairperson of the committee got the facts wrong, because he will be working in some other presidency or something next to JG, and she will be smiling there thinking, hey, look who's taking the front part of us on the bus, look who's taking the flag. The complainant no longer wants to press charges often, and trifling cases thrown out of the court are simply struck from the road. What do you mean simply struck from the road? Aren't they all struck from the road?
It's something that you do when you do criminal defense matters. If they're postponed too often, you simply just ask the magistrate to discharge your case and
you don't say it's simply struck up from the road for what reason?
It could be very things.
Oh, so it's too much. It's too clumsy. Oh, really, listen. And the inefficiency and experience of prosecutors, public defenders, and presiding officers. The committee is acutely aware of the challenges in reducing the extent of removal from the courtrooms, but believes that there has to be incremental progress. In the first quarter of next year, depending on the nature of the briefing we're going to get from the Minister or Deputy Minister, or both of them, on the review of the criminal justice system, we will seek with our fellow committee to have a hearing. 6.10. Conviction rate impressive, 86% for those things that get to the court. 6.11. The case backlogs have not been reduced as they are under review. There's been gradual decline in court hours. I think we dropped to all this because it looked marginal, you know. And you were very obsessed with that. I know, I'll teach you outside the speech. Why? I was just amused. What's the big thing with 20 minutes left? She's very strong about it, but I've dropped that out. I think Carol also agrees. Apart from that, we've left other things that juggle them around, including the political idiom. But many of your thoughts are here. The committee is aware that the court hours is not something which is upon the final and ultimate control, but we know that. The finalization of the rate for lower costs does not meet the target. The fewer cases being finalized, the outstanding role of the court is 2,000. Now, these matters will also be taken further during the briefing proposed in 6.9 above. Now, it is 6.9. Yeah, I left that there because we might have changed the paragraph. No, it's correct. So those two questions must fall away in the text iron. The standardization of the information captured across the criminal justice system, I think we all agree on that. The committee welcomes the department's efforts in regards to vulnerable groups, children in particular. The Child Justice Bill notes Steve, we're saying we need to parliament. We'll process the bill expeditiously, Steve. We also welcome the department's efforts in increasing awareness of the Equality Court System's charter and child. You see, now I have difficulties. How do we independently judge that? How do we independently say that that has happened? There's increasing awareness. I think we'll be more cautious on next year in the way we word these things. I worded them, I must confess. Partly there was a draft in Christina and I juggled it around. No, this is my own word, remember. But really, I think that's bad wording from me, really. It's not accurate. We don't know independently. But we leave it for now. 6.14, we deal with the Auditor General's issues, right? And we say that we're going to monitor things. Also about asset management in 6.15. Emphasis on matter in 6.16. Understanding we're not happy about, but it's not bad given it's 6 plus billion and 4 point something billion is going to the department. 6.18, we are going to ask them to report to us on the following issues: third party funds, asset management, matters of emphasis, justice deposit account, tightening of internal controls, guardian funds. Can you ring the in here promoting of monthly and monthly spending. Then, within our capacity, we have other constraints. Do you have a cell number? Oh, here we go. This is my phone. We're talking about the Equality Court there. The Legal Services Charter. Victims Charter maintains court play of children. And you see what's there, that's there, right? I just think that you need to be 5 to be done, but that's what I have to go. Okay. Now, 620, we mentioned that shortly before we had this report, the Cabinet approved an overhaul of the criminal justice system that aimed at greater coordination and integration with a single vision, mission, and objective. As we discussed in the Cabinet of the Court last January and the State and Nation address, the new integrated system seems to address many of the issues we raised in our report, so we will seek a briefing early in the new year and then shape our program of oversight. Let me mention Scopa's report. Carol took us through the report already and summarized it. She's looked at it and she's... I'm not going to cover that because that's really her report to us. We are going to write, of course, to, I've written it to the draft of the letter and I've checked. It's not correct to say we can't speak our sick with the powers that we, so we'll pursue that. Okay, I think the opposition party might be feeling slightly more at ease, maybe some agencies in this. We're going to have a modest oversight program. We're not going to be trooping up and down this country while there are hundreds of bills lying here. So, but on the other hand, we're not going to throw some stones. So it's not an academic forum here. Yeah? We're not a fact to bring some bills, beyond. We have got oversight to do. If you guys are unhappy, you can change the constitution. But we're not going to sit here not doing our job. Our job is to check. Since the term comes to an end, what is going on out there? You pass wonderful bills, yeah? You more than me need to see whether your bills are being implemented. The only bill I'm accountable for as part of this collective is the Judicial Education Institute bill. So I will monitor that vigorously next year. What it means was, the issues raised in Section 6 and 7 provide an important basis for our oversight program, but the committee, as acutely aware, dedicated our social challenge towards finding a necessary balance between our legislative savings. That as we near the end of our 5-year term, the legislative work is very probably going to increase dramatically. 8.2, the importance of oversight work, which is Carol, cannot be overemphasized. However, an anticipated increase in legislative workload will affect our oversight program. While we cannot forego our oversight responsibilities, we will have limited time, energy, and space. Carol doesn't like that term, but I like it a lot. Time seems quite evocative. Time means you can have time and not energy. You can have both time and energy and no space. So, there's a meaning to it that we will gossip about them. Okay, we all three of us are objectives and we can have this endless debate. But she keeps the words out and I brought them back in at 3 o'clock this morning. I was irritated with her. Okay, but I'm teasing. Carol's done wonderful work. Just note that again. Carol's a real star, my favorite person in this committee. And we'd like to have a modest oversight program because, you know, I mean, for the reasons that the department's going to dump us and close down, you know, Dion, I know what the strategy is to prevent us doing our oversight job. Because you don't want to see all your shortcomings. You're going to dump us on this phone. I know what you're going to do. Can you, where's the papers? Can you put the no papers here? Okay. We put our appreciation to Christine for her help. And we couldn't ask her, Carol, because I think she's a member of this committee, right? And I've actually given her a health bar as an award, as a prize, to keep her working. the wonderful work she does. Okay, thank you all. I must say, there's nothing there that's slid in, but you. You know, we just add a thing. Just a little.
Okay, can we add somewhere, maybe under 6.1, that we're still awaiting the performance contract?
Yes. Thanks very much. I was very bad at this. I spoke to Nene. I rang Seva. He didn't do my call. I didn't let Nene. Nene says no. In terms of Treasury's request to committee, that we all should have the performance agreement signed between the minister and the DG. I spoke to Menzi last week. Menzi said, yeah, I'll give it to you. So, let's not slide it in. Good. I would have felt terrible, by the way. Did I even tell you enough if you do it?
and then I forgot. And Carol there, she's not so good. Just know what I said about Carol. She should have noted that. She's put it on. And your husband gets upset.
I would suggest that if we need a performance contract for the DJs, get a DJ and cinema management, let's get a performance contract for all institutions that are coming to get to the festival.
Shall we do that? I'll follow that up. In this report, obviously, it was referred specifically under... under 6.4 we'll put it in, because we're talking about strategic, we're measuring their performance against the strategic plan, that way to fall in. That part of how we measure the performance in 6.4 is also against the GG performance technique. We'll put it there. Okay, Les?
Thank you very much.
Okay. If you saw the text you got on Monday, and this text, all we've done is editorial stuff, the catalyzing of the report, and two, one submission by the department, which I read out to you in text, there's nothing there that's outlandish, and then actually I juggle things around, you know, to make it flow. And I'm taking you through that. And I don't think we disagree, but we should add things. If you think we're going to add, great. But the stuff that we, I think all parties agree, you might have different interpretations. But okay. So if anyone is add things we left out, we write like one page of stuff for a quarterly report, then we can pick up things there. But this is going to be our guide from now till next year. And there's a huge oversight program that you mentioned from here. And Christine is on Christmas Day, going to take all our reports, ignore our 2-year-old child by announcement, and prepare up the report. So when I come in early next year, which means January, end of January, if I get my way, which I want to raise with you by the way next year's program, that will be huge. And then we start monitoring why we're doing our legislation. Okay. If there's nothing to add, can we move, somebody move this report? Steve? Second? Not Carol, because... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We need 8. Where's people going to
be? Okay, the office will be back. We just went to check on
it. All right, even if I'm not here, just put the report for formal adoption. But please, we have to do this because this report has to go into the ACC. And I will call you back at 3 in the morning if I have to, because really, this will be unfair on the people who are there. And you, because you collected the video. Okay, having said that, while Fatima is on her way, the tea outside. Okay, can I just introduce you things? Parliament reconvened on the 15th. Now, many of us, can I say,
will be chatted after full at 1. And I personally have got things to do. So I don't have to be here, so the other kids here, but I'm not coming back on the 15th. What do you think, Daniel? We have 30 years to do some of these things. You aren't here. You won't die. I'm suggesting we come back the week after. There are public hearings on the child justice bill, the regional court legislation bill, and so on. I will send you the program during the constituency period and the SMS is today. You can make proposals. But who wants to come here on the 15th?
In fact, the
group... We'll turn off because we don't know how to do it. Yeah.
In fact, your proposal is that that's in a better
question. Actually, I wanted a better one. It's really nice, man. I don't think we should come at the end of January, but, you know, we have to make a compromise.
More better, definitely.
Yeah.
More better, because, I mean, for the past 9 years that I've been here, we are always the first commit to come here.
Okay.
We've been the last commit to you.
Mm.
And we are getting older.
Yeah, and my hair is disappearing. Look who's talking, Bulalani. The youngest member here is talking about climate. Okay, can we negotiate with Bulalani and the powers that be there? Or is the pressure come from the ASC side, okay? Right, let's put this. We're out for the 15th. If we can escape coming the next week, we'll also escape coming. But let's compromise when we're coming for the table. Just do the public hearings and then we go back. The second thing I would say, the school's open for KZN. So even if we are forced to come, I am coming, and I think KZN should come, because I have thousands of people. I mean, I'm BT Ladysmith, which is in the feudal era, and I have problems with food even now in the future, so I get a lot of work.
So I'm out for the week anyway, and for the Rani will act as chair if you have to go ahead.
Yeah,
I've
got
You're looking very emotional and committed. Imam has got his congregation to attend to. He will present. So we will all go in, man. And go to outside the chief of office. The king of the ANC side. And Imam is the leader, the senior member of the ministry, will put his hand on and
leave us.
So there we are. Next big thing we agreed, you will get the Human Rights Commission report next week. I think it takes a lot of it. I can't deliver from my side. But if you finish it, maybe we can. Alright, let's try. Okay, so we might meet tomorrow for 10 minutes. We'll finish the report if I can. But just a possibility. Let's do it. If it's great, if you've done the draft, and if I can pull it together, and a certain Carol Johnson comes in on the party, we could maybe finish by noon tomorrow, in which case, all we need is a 15-minute meeting, G26 analysis, to go through the Human Rights Commission. The basic thrust of our report, we're talking about finishing the basic thrust of our report there is the Human Rights Commission is doing a good job. Even in fluff here and there. And then, I must say, I spoke to the Deputy Minister about their legislation. And in fact, we don't have to put guidelines. They have already started moving. They're not going to be there. And they should tell us these things. They agree between the Gender Commission, the Human Rights Commission, and the Ministry, they will proceed with it. So they haven't drafted. In fact, it's Carol's Asmal Committee that held them out there, and so on and so on. It's just the argument. So let me try to run, try to hear those things follow it. But the overall thrust of the report is they've done very well, but they need to do better, and we will set out some of the requests to us. Hopefully we can vote on that tomorrow afternoon. But this needs to be because Fatima will start getting restless there and not stay on her. So it's the only thing Fatima that we didn't do, which is we can carry over. Firstly, let me move formally for control of the children. Formally, anybody up there? She's going to be a member of this committee for now, this morning. She's going to chair. And if you're going to call, we can vote on the report to the Justice Committee. Let's have the bell.
Just going to check on something, he'll be back.
Then we can vote on it. I'll sit for a few minutes. We vote on that. Your commission is still sitting there. I can go there. So I'll...
Let me finish the phone. When I went there, people were very cheering in circles. So you are...
In that case, can I just suggest that Fatima finishes... You know the proposal you had on the magistrate service? Follow the process. You think it's quite a risky reply. He's going to be coming back. So what we're suggesting to you is before 1 o'clock, we have to be the British at 1. So when you finish your 2 bills, can you just tie up the issue of ensuring that we have a report that captures the issues you raised with me? And your text is here. And you got a copy of the evidence to me. So you finish that part. So if we can vote on the department report, I'll leave. Thanks. Have we got just one more member, Bulan, we can vote? Have we left anything else in the program today? We finished everything. The time for magistrates and judges' salaries. There's only one, four of the five reports, only one report. Okay, give me the 5 minutes break and then it's cheating. Well, the lunch is in the good old building at 1 o'clock. Actually, we asked for it now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, okay. Just check that everybody can we just vote on the report? Is there a movement to the report? Can we just finish so that I can leave?
Right. Now we're all in here. That's 3, 6. Now we can vote. Okay, Steve, move to the second test.
Sorry. Read the draft report and go.
Okay, so this is the document I'm reading from now. Okay, that's your draft, your
section
from the book. Now, all this thing is doing is explaining to you in better English what I'm going to explain to you, not so good English. Okay, so all you need is this document. If you want to read what I'm saying in proper English, you can look at that stuff. As you know, the bill has served before the NCLT. It is a Section 75 bill. What it means is that clearly when it comes to the procedure of passing legislation, a 75 bill means that the NCOP can propose amendments, but
not
we don't need to accept those amendments. Okay? We have met with the NCOP contingent, and they've explained to us that if you look at this extract, the first extract, which reads Section 51(3)(aa) as passed by the Portfolio Committee, AA starts off with, when imposing a sentence in respect of the offence of rape, the following shall not constitute substantial and compelling circumstances justifying the imposition of a less sentence. Number one, the complainant's previous history. Number two, number three, and number four, any relationship between the accused person and the complainant prior to the offence being committed. Now the reason I'm reading just those two is because it is the NCLP's proposal that these two sections should be removed. Okay? That is their proposal. I, together with the WIP and some members of the committee, met with the chairperson of the NCLP and a contingent of those members this morning, and we said that in principle we're not inclined to agree to removing those two aspects. However, we have agreed that, and they were expressing concerns about some unintended consequences pertaining to these provisions. We then agreed that we would do a report from our side, asking the department to, within 48 months, do a systematic review of these two clauses.
48 months?
48 months.
4 years?
24 months. Do a review of any unintended consequences pertaining to Roman 1 and Roman 4. Okay? And to come back and to report to the committee within that time as to any unintended consequences pertaining to that. So that is what we will do. Unfortunately, we don't have that report before us now. It's currently being drafted somewhere with the researcher and so on. When it comes to us, we'll pass that report. My sense is that if it doesn't happen today, it's not a train smash, because the committee is always at liberty to pass such a report. In principle, we've agreed to that. And I can't see that it's going to do any harm. In fact, it may very well assist in terms of ensuring. I know that there was some debate in this committee as well as to the implications of these in terms of narrowing the judicial discretion and so on. So it might assist even with that argument. And those of you who were preferring that view clearly may find that this is a good compromise within reach. Can I open the floor and just see if anybody has questions, comments, indications? Anybody wants to have a joke? Are we happy with that approach? Can we take it?
Yes, sir. I think we support that.
Thank you very much. So under those circumstances, I think what we can do, let me just check what the quorum is. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are correct. Am I correct? We are correct.
Mm-hmm.
We're not correct.
See, I have it. If the committee is 17 members, quorum is half plus one, it's 9.
Are we 17 members? 13 members. 1, 3 members.
But then 7 is there.
Okay. I counted 10. I can't remember what the other 3 are, but okay. Maybe they never come to me. I counted good. Yeah. Look, I know from the AMP we are 6. Is that right? I'm excluding myself. But from the AMP I think we're 6. the guys are 2, 3 with 4, 4 with 8.
And Delport, oh, did you start?
Okay.
You put it, it's a UDM, might have a rip, it's never here.
If we're 13, then we have to be 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What's the problem? That's not problem. Just let them make doubly sure. Look, while they're being doubly sure, let me then also deal with the sexual offensive stuff and explain the sexual offensive stuff to them. We are going to get Mr. Dupria to take us through all of the amendments. That will be in this document here, which is the 6th document.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get me a couple.
Wait.
Yeah, I
think great.
I don't know. That's not that working all. Just take a nice little document to get out here. No, these are alternatives.
Lambula is not here, but she's insisting, and it may be correct, that if Fatima and I necessarily can, but look, hey, what's the problem? The idea was, see, Fatima finishes the informal thing, everything. You know, we agree on the bill, the report, and everything. But when it comes to the formal side, there has to be an existing member of the committee, her co-opted member chairing. Now, I'm sorry about all these insecurities, and JJ and other people have the insecurities, but then they insisted that me as the existing chair, I have to do something about all these things, that must nominate somebody to act as the chair. So it just seems to me Imam is the senior most member, you know, that he can chair the formal time. So Imam, I formally...
But they're just seem to be doing it right now, say, what about? Say, okay, and we do it quick, and they're over
there. Yeah, agree. All right, in that case, I don't know, try to call the guy.
Let me ask a question. What are the implications of that? Because we have passed the judicial commission amendment.
I don't want to get involved. I think it's unnecessary, but the whole idea is interesting is why I came back. I think she's it. So what do you want to do? What do you want? I really don't mind.
Look, I'm in your hands completely. The way I read the rules is you as the chair have to co-opt the member.
Yeah.
And then, you know, anybody can chair.
Alright, then let me leave Fatima as the chair. Everybody disagree? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Thank you. I'm going to check it later.
Why are you
doing? What?
I've got other work to do. Can you just take it for this? No. I think there's no understanding.
I only have one bill
you need
that I'm responsible for.
But I just wanted to check with my committee on that intercom.
Yeah, I'll go there. It's E359.
539. 539. If you go up, it's on the back side.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure
if
it's
39
or 54,
but
they're there.
It's the
fifth floor.
Yeah, it's on the fifth floor.
You're not at the back.
Okay. Oh, sorry. One last thing. We're talking about the last to become a mechanic, so it's a little British. We're meeting them for lunch, then they get to the house, and they're meeting them after. And you put in a paper and talking about it. If you can do anything, that's the concept. Cindy, where is it now? It's the fifth floor. Good old. 1 o'clock.
Okay. I think we sorted out the quorum thing. You will see there that you have now you can take the document that I told you to put us down, face down. this one here, it's the report of the committee. And we're bearing in mind, of course, there is another report that is being drafted, as I explained to you, to deal with the issue of the review by the department after 24 months. Okay? Are we all in a row?
Are we doing which bit are we doing?
Minimum. Okay. So there you have the report of the portfolio committee on gas. I'm now going to put the report. Tell me what the problem is, and then I will help.
I will leave now your future in your hands. I will keep inquiring whether we are dealing with this.
Yes, the minimum thing. What we've essentially done, Dr. Delport, is we're rejecting the proposal of the NCOP with the proviso that we're passing a report to say to the department that within 24 months they must conduct a substantive review on any unintended consequences flowing from these two clauses and present the outcome of that review to the committee.
I just want to point out that these are exactly the problems that I have.
And I have reiterated your problems, and I said that may be a good thing even for you to support, because if there are unintended consequences, it would capture not just the NCOP's unintended consequences, but yours as well. So that if there is a holistic review on these things and how in implementation of it, things have actually worked, that we can then review those issues.
I would want to vote for the NCOP that this is the
Sorry, say again?
Okay, I would like to support.
Okay. Okay. No, then I think we must do it. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Then we do it this way. Okay. Yeah, Bo. Look, I. I don't know if there's any harm that's going to come to the opening, to be honest. Let's just do it, and let's get it over with. If there's somebody who's objecting to it, then let's step with it for it. I really don't think it's going to take them that much, but I don't want us to argue about whether we have and whether we haven't. I agree that no objection was raised. I think we're right in that regard. But the truth of the matter is that we're still at the point of putting the matter, we're checking out the quorum. So let's do it on that
first. May I just apologize for having had to go out, you know, I have to respond to the president's speech this afternoon, and I had to go and check on my notes.
So, what we'll do is this, as a first matter of point of departure, is I will put formally the report of the NCOP. If you're with me, that's this ACC team here to the House. Then you can indicate what it is that you want to vote for on that basis, and then we can continue over the others. Okay? So now we are putting this stuff of the NCOP to the committee.
And I was going to say, shouldn't we put the two amendments that they proposed, shouldn't we vote on each one?
We can do it that way. It will go to the report that they submit to the NCOP. I imagine that it will go to the report of the NCOP to the House. Although I think technically you may have people who
support one or the other.
Okay, let's do it that way. I think, okay, members, now just bear with me. What we'll do is we'll put the report of the NCOP as tabled in the ACC of the 15th of November 2007, and we'll put it is clause 1 as a whole, but I'm going to then say the first point, which is on page 3 in line 47, to delete subparagraph 1. Now that is before you at this stage. Those in favor of deleting subparagraph 1, I take it Dr. Delport,
yes.
Mr. Zubaz, Mr. Swartz?
No, I'm in favor of the retention of paragraph 1.
Sir. doing, sorry.
Don't try to get people to vote against you.
No, no, no. I just want to be absolutely sure that people have got sufficient opportunity to do so. Okay. Those against, please raise your hand. Okay, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you can't vote against,
Why not? Why doesn't Dr. Delfort vote against and Mr. Joubert vote for?
Okay, so 7 opposed on that one. The next one is clause 2 of their report, which is on page 3 from line 50 to delete subparagraph 4. Those in favor? Dr. Delfort is a few. Wonderful.
I was afraid you were the 30th.
Mr. Swart, anybody else? 2 opposed, two in favor, those opposed. Same number of hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? So, we now take this document, we put it face down. We now take this document, which is the report of the committee, bearing in mind, as I say, as always, this other report asking for the review, which is currently being drafted, will come to the committee at some stage to also pass in this regard. So at this stage, we're only passing this part of the report, another report will go with it asking for the review.
Okay.
I think it will be supported unanimously.
It's actual, what you said, David, is a fact.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
It just happened.
You don't have to vote against.
No, well, you have to vote against. So, I put the report of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development on the Criminal Law Sentencing Amendment Bill B15B 2007, dated the 21st of November 2007. The Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development, having considered the Criminal Law Sentencing Amendment Bill B15-2007 and the proposed amendments of the NCLP in the ACC of the 15th of November 2007 on page 2302.
And it's the reprint you should take. And I would want to suggest that after this, if you adopt the report, somebody just
check
which is the correct version, which is the original one, which is the reprint. You take the reprint and use that page number.
So it can help with the 02 is the reprint.
02.
Okay, so we put it now. 2302 refers to the committee report that it has rejected the amendment. Those in favor of adopting this report? 1, 2, 3.
The report is factual. We don't have a problem with the report.
Look, I'm just becoming exercises. I've lost the nuances, which is just as well. But okay, so it's unanimous. None opposed and none abstaining. Okay. Thank you very much for that. We now come to the poll. As the C version, do we have to pass the C version without those amendments? Sure. Is there a C version?
No.
There is a C version. Okay. Just in case there is a C version, let's vote on the poll.
Are you still referring to the criminal law?
There's no C version. Okay, good. So we don't have to then put the poll, we just take the report because we've already then done the poll. Okay? Happiness prevails. Okay. Now take all of the criminal things and put them away. We're now dealing with this document, which is your announcements and tabling, the big document. Mr. Dupre, you've got that?
haven't shared an electronic version of that document actually has been handed out, so they're identical.
Okay. That's good.
So it's the fixing. Okay, the announcement is disabling.
Just lift it up, Steve. I thought
something
was
here.
Okay?
But, so, Chair, I would suggest we use this because of the page number.
The problem is we don't have copies of that. But this electronic version will basically deal with the substance. But understand that it appears in this ACC, okay? Then you have the criminal law version, not the full bill. Those of you who have your full bill, that's fine. Oh, you've got the full bill then?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, you'll be distributing the full bill then. We will obviously have to go through what the NCLP is proposing now for amendments to the criminal law sexual offences bill. There are some issues that I just wanted to say to you, having had a preparatory meeting with the chairperson of the NCLP. I can try and expedite the process for you, but it will require your concurrence. As you can see, quite a few documents. You recall that I said to you at some stage that after it had come from the printers, after we had drafted the bill here, it went to the printers in electronic format. The printers, unfortunately, checked the thing back with about 200 and something odd technical mistakes. So where, for example, the indent, the Roman 1s, 2s, and 3s, they put it against the line. Where the words would follow, a dash would follow, and then the sentence would continue, they just put it as part of the sentence, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, a lot of that stuff is reflected in here. It's a long story. Once we identified those problems, it was Mr. Bassett and Mr. Dupria who stayed up all night, literally, to fix up these technical problems. They sent it back to the printers, and I think Ms. Clark was, and she's saying no. Okay, well, I don't know. The point of the matter is this. They sent those changes back to the printers. The printers came back with a further 60-odd mistakes. Now, how this happens and so on in this day and age, if you want us, we had a detailed meeting with the Secretary of Parliament to discuss this problem. But what it in effect means is that a wrong version of the bill was passed in the NA. We didn't have time to sit yet another day to rectify all of those 60 other mistakes and things. So what we then proposed was that when it went to the NCLP, that committee and that house would come back and rectify those technical things through affecting them as formal amendments, which they have now done. And you'll see the bulk of the stuff is really technical stuff, which says things like on page 39 in line 49 to omit member and to substitute members. So unless you want Mr. Dupree to go through all of these things, I want to suggest that we agree that these technical things are okay. That I will now ask him to just deal with some of the more substantive issues proposed by the NCLP. Can we assist?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rupin, I'm going to hand over to... Sorry?
Maybe we should ask a question, Mr. Rupin. Are they okay?
What's the
technical amendments? Are they fine? Have you... Double, triple. Of course, you can't vouch. He said after today, when they send a C version to be printed, that it won't come back with technical problems. I mean, you know, he's a lot of things, but he's not a soothsayer. So So I am only a skeptic. No change of opinion. Okay. Mr. De Beer, over to you. I think you must start off from the beginning with the Clause 1 members. Everybody with us, as the definition of child pornography.
Thank you, Chair. And maybe just to explain what we're doing there, the document that we just handed out 6 weeks ago, it's the thick document printed on two pages on one first sheet. If we could just quickly take members to clauses 18 and 19 and 20, you will recall when these clauses were approved by the National Assembly, they reflected quite extensively reference to the Films and Publications Act, etc. Now, if you look at the document that we handed out, we're supposed to delete, strictly speaking, all references to two things, pornography and child pornography. And I'm looking at Dr. Lopi interrupt me as soon as I'm deviating from the background information with regard to this. However, the reason for that was primarily to have a re-look at the definitions of pornography and child pornography. When we look at the provisions, we realize that it might be much more appropriate. It is actually more appropriate to include two definitions in Clause 1, the one dealing with child pornography and the other one with pornography, not only to clearly reflect what is intended with the terms in the bill, wherever it defines the reference to them, but also to closely align them to the international best practice, if one could call it that way, with regard to defining pornography, especially child pornography, but also to align it to some of the cases that have been decided in South Africa, specifically the REAC case in the Constitutional Court. So with that background information, Madam Chair, you will find that in Clause 1, the proposed amendments are that we insert in Clause 1, in our definition clause, the definition of child pornography. I don't know whether it's really necessary to go through the content thereof again. You will recall that during the course of last year, we actually started in our bill with the definition of child pornography, and our clauses dealing with child pornography evolved from that to an extent where we were, where we didn't have any need for child pornography definition, but we're back there. Would you like me to do the
conference? Let me just say that Mr. Gupriya and Dr. Lowe and these people who've been doing the research after we passed it, remember, I think the substantive issue that is important for us to consider is that previously when we dealt with the definition of pornography and so on, we relied quite heavily on this other act, the Films and Publications stuff, in our definitions as well. And what we're doing now is we're dissociating ourselves by actually in words describing, which is really what the definition clause ought to be. It's meant to describe something rather than saying it's whatever that act says. And knowing how that act, for example, that act falls without outside of the justice purview, so that can change at any given point and so on. So what this does, I think, is a more refined way of dealing with it. With whatever research has gone into it, they're certainly abreast of whatever research has been done. And I must say, I'm much happier with these clauses as they are now defined than I was with what we had previously. Because, as I said, you have this legal reliance on something that you don't really have too much of control over. And in fact, if you think about it, when it comes to the issue of criminal law versus what is really a regulatory framework for what can and can't be published, that's two different intents, if you're with me. And so it becomes very tenuous
in a sense, to rely on that legislation. So I must say, having looked at this thing quite closely, I am very much happier with what we've got here. But members, up to you. Do you want Mr. Dupree to go through clause by clause?
Okay. I've briefly looked at it, and it seems to be, it doesn't seem to be a lessening of the offences at all.
No.
And that it seems to be, you know, tightening, and it seems to be in order, as opposed to defining it in the sections, it's defined in the definition. So I don't see a lessening. That would be my concern, if a lessening of the offence. I think it's as it is, if I can have that assurance, with my quick reading.
It's not a lessening of the offence. So one thing that you've reminded me of, if you recall that part of our discussion is that pornography is a very loose, widely interpreted, differently interpreted. I mean, your concept of pornography and mine may be completely worlds apart. And people were saying things like, well, I don't know how to define pornography, but when I see it, I'll know it, kind of thing. And this is what it's trying to address, is to actually describe, make it more legally certain what it is, and more particularly what it isn't. But let me hear from Dr. Lowe. You want to add something, Dr.
Just three aspects here, just to make it clear that it's really much more stricter. The committee's version of this law didn't cover the issue of the situation where you have morphing, where you took the face of the child, for instance, and morphed it onto the body of an adult. That situation did not cover the situation where you took a young adult and made the person look younger than 18 for the purpose of child pornography, and it did not cover the situation where you created child pornography without actually using a child, but using internet graphics for that purpose. Then also looking at the jury case, trying to really make it clear that why the definition of child pornography is different from pornography, it says whether for artistic purposes or not, is really very strong, and it will be for the court to interpret it, but it's really covering a wide net of
I've forgotten about that discussion, Dr. Lowe is quite correct in that sense. There were certain aspects that we missed out completely. And with the research that she's done, we've managed to tighten those gaps that were in fact there. That members actually don't disappear. Please, members, don't leave. Mr. Maponisha has got to go to a workshop. So, please try and do it. Please continue. Let's try and. Okay, so that takes care of both child pornography and pornography. So, that? Next.
Thank you, Chair. The rest of them are technical. The next substantive one, which we can find in clause 13, the proposed amendment that were included in the HRP, the bestiality clause, with reference to subparagraph B. Yeah, the proposal is that it should read as follows. Of masturbation of an animal and the words to be interpreted follows, namely, comma, unless such act is committed for scientific reasons or breeding purposes, comma, or of masturbation with an animal. Those are the proposed amendments to clause 13.
Okay, let's deal with that one quickly. You'll see here that you can see what the concern is, members. The issue of for the purposes of breeding or scientific purposes and so on. Now look, I mean, my sense is that in any case that is all captured in the unlawfully and intentionally issue. And the NCOP, I think, is trying to do the belt and braces thing on us here. I don't particularly have difficulty with it. I don't know if anybody else does. I said to the chairperson that I think that committee will be happy to accommodate them. And they're very, very worried about usual people and stuff. Okay, we agree to that amendment. Thank you.
But I'm sure you will note in clause 17, if you have a look at the document that they handed out this morning, the first two sub-clauses both refer to the phrase with or without the consent of the with the child. The proposed amendment to clause 17 merely intends to insert those words under sub 3, 4, 5 and 6 of those 17 as well.
Tell me, I don't have my other goal here, so I don't know what
17
is.
Well, 17 deals with the sexual exploitation of children.
I think that's fine, members. That stuff is certainly, I think, tightens up. Mr. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Members, happy? Very quickly, thank you. Next.
Yes, Madam Chair, the next expansive amendment is in clause 18, where the concern was expressed that if you look at our paragraph 18.1, paragraph A of clause 18.1, the concern was that the manufacturing of an article should rather be included in a separate sub-clause to specifically indicate that the intention of such manufacturing of an article is to facilitate or exclusively intended to facilitate the commission of a sexual offense against a child. The concern there was that our existing 18.1A, as was approved by the National Assembly, the amateur was a bit too wide. One would have been concerned that persons involved in the in sex education, etc., might fall the risk of being prosecuted.
Did you tell this committee what side is on this?
We'll leave that for the end of the
session. Name is happy? This just tightens up what I think is considered to be maybe bordering on unintended consequences. Okay?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
The rest in clause 18 then are
technical
and consequences of
clause
19. Yes, but that is as a result of the definitions of child pornography and pornography in clause 1, so strictly speaking, they are consequential.
This is the exposure or display or causing exposure or display of child pornography or pornography. Remember, this is a specific time that we have created. Where are the changes there, Mr. Dupin?
Madam Chair, if you look at the document that we handed out...
You just now replaced it with a whole new clause.
Yes, that's the easiest way to go about it. But strictly speaking, paragraph B of our original clause 19 falls away as a result of the definition.
Because of the Films and Publications Act and so on. But I see you still have one on the C there. Oh, but that's the age-inappropriate stuff, which is specific to the films and other things. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay. Members happy? I think that's fine. Do people need some time? Are you happy? Okay.
The
new clause, consequential on that one. And it's just easier to say reject the old one and put in place a new one rather than just saying in this part to take out these words and that kind of thing. Because obviously the sentence construction changes and so on. All right? Happy? Using children for and or benefiting from child pornography. Okay, next one, Mr.
Dupin. Thank you, Chair. So, 4, once again, consequential as a result of the proposed definitions of pornography and child pornography.
Okay.
25. Yes, Madam Chair, same thing
also
there.
Also, mentally abused person, similar to the previous ones. Remember, we had the two vulnerable categories, the one being children, the other one persons with mental disabilities. And this is consequential to that one as well. Okay, so we can't have an objection here because it's the same as the one with the children. Okay, next.
26, same thing, Madam Chair, consequential. Mirroring what we did with children.
Happy? I'm just going to move if people don't think it unhappy.
Okay.
Are you unhappy?
I do this unhappy.
You're happy? Okay.
volunteer, then just for clarity purposes, I'll just mention them now in chronological order. 29, 32, 40, 41, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 55, and 56. Those are technical amendments, formatting, correcting formatting, here and there, it's a spelling mistake, etc. But on 56.
Not 56, but right up to 55. That's
your technical formatting.
Your printer from
L. In the interview, we called it the printer's devil.
What's that?
The printer's devil. We just called it the devil. The devil did it.
The devil did it. The devil made me. Okay. 56
rooms. Yes, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the proposed amendments that we originally submitted to the committee, the NCOP committee, was 6 and 7. There's really not much to say. If I think they speak for themselves. It's quite straightforward what the proposal is there.
Let me then leave that particular discussion. This is a matter of some substance. If you look at sub 8, you'll see that that refers back to section 9 and section 22. Now, section 9 is your exposure or display or causing exposure or display of genital organs, anus, or female breast to 18 years or older, flash exposition. What this is meant to be a defense for flashing. And the defense is a person may not be convicted of an offense in terms of 9 or 22, and 22 is flashing to a child. If that person commits such an act in compliance with and in the interest of a legitimate cultural practice. Now, there was concern from, now this is obviously the change from the NCOP. There's concern there that certain cultural practices where women go bare-breasted particularly would not be covered with the mere intention and intentional and unlawful. Because remember, men's wear is always meant to be critical. Again, I think this is probably just belts and braces. I don't necessarily agree that it's not covered. I mean, I can't see any judicial officer in his or her right mind saying that somebody is participating in a reed dance or something like that who's guilty of flashing, because clearly the mens rea is not present. But again, it doesn't harm, and in the interest of taking the thing forward today, otherwise we'd be stuck with this debate forever and a day and have yet another debate in the passing of this bill. It doesn't really hurt to agree to the particular position, and I want to suggest to members that we do so. And this is now just in terms of it.
Agreed.
They suggested the 9, which is the bigger problem, that a person may not be convicted of an offense in terms of 18.1c if that person commits such an act in compliance with and in the interest of the person is culturally covered. That is a little more bothersome. Remember, 18.1c pertains to the sexual grooming of children. Now this committee, I said to the chairperson, would have enormous problems agreeing to something like that, because it has some unintended consequences. I don't know whether there's something that, and I know that in some countries there's a growing movement almost. And I even know that there's a political party in one country in Europe which promotes the legalization of pedophilia. And as we know, cultures are not static, traditions are not static, and they apply across the board. As much as they do to ancient cultures, they also apply to newly developed ones in some instances. And clearly on the issue of children,
there's no way we're going to even leave the door slightly open for anybody to have the kind of interpretation that would allow this kind of really outrageous behavior pertaining to young children. So what is being proposed here, let me just read 18.1, or have you guys have 18.1 in front of you, you can have a look at it. I don't know if anybody here wants to speak for this amendment. If so, please feel free to do so now, despite the citizen at this point.
Rejected.
Can we reject that proposal? Yes. Thank you very much. And children are all our good too. Okay. Next, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, the following few are formatting, printing, errors, etc. corrected. In clause 63, 66, 67, 68, 70, correcting incorrect numbering, and 71. The next substantive proposal is in clause 22, Madam Chair, where we propose that the substantive provisions, if you look at 72.1, the substantive provisions of the bill, in other words, the crime, will take effect on 16 December this year, or an earlier date fixed by the President. But that Chapter 5 of the Act takes effect on 21 March next year, or an earlier date fixed by the President, and that Chapter 6 takes effect on 16 June next year, or an earlier date fixed by the President.
Okay. I don't think we have a problem with that. Anybody have a problem with that?
Mm.
Why these particular dates, Jim?
This thing has been delayed forever and again.
Mm.
Why do we have different dates then?
The one is the 16th of December is all your time that is created. The others are stuff that will need reservations and so on. So you can't, otherwise we can say the whole thing. This is really just a pragmatic. Are we happy to support that?
Well, it must be signed in, hopefully. They won't hear.
It will come into effect.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Fully support. Wholeheartedly endorse.
I agree. The court is one step. All right. So that. Oh, schedule.
Yes.
Sure. Again.
But we'll lessen the burden. Item 1 under the schedule we would like to explain to you, but with your permission later, let me just quickly highlight the technical stuff to you. So item 2, item 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, up to 9 are technical stuff, correction formatting, etc. So item 1 and 10 will be explained to you in due course, and then you'll find on the last page of the proposed amendment, we just need to also correct wording in our long title. But I would like to ask Ms. Clark to just briefly explain to us what we are doing in item 1 under the schedule, and then thereafter I'll just quickly ask Dr. Lowe to explain item 10 to us, because the committee is also well aware of what the position is there. Thank you.
With regards to the existing Sexual Offences Act, it was agreed that subject to the investigation of the Law Reform Commission dealing with adult prostitution, that all matters relating to adult prostitution be dealt with in the existing Sexual Offences Act and GSA. We try to do that by inserting the definition of person, which means a person of 18 years and older, The unintended consequence, though, is that it's not only applied to adult prostitutes, but all role players involved in adult prostitution, which would mean that a prince or a brothel keeper would only be prosecuted if he was 18 years or older. So that left a gap open. And you seem to address that by specifically defining, if it's a case of dealing with an adult prostitute, defining that person specifically in the amendment that we're putting forward.
I understand correctly, Ms. Clark, and you tell me if this is true. I'm not sure that I understand completely. What we're doing in virtual education is recapturing pumps and brothel keepers and so on in this new legislation that they're passing now. Doesn't matter how old they are, it doesn't matter how young they are. Okay? But the remnants of prostitution, in other words, per se, the actual adult prostitute, whether to legalize or not, is being dealt with in the Law Reform Commission. As such, we do not change what is currently in the legislation in the old sexual thing. So that still remains. All the illegalities around prostitution still remain until such time as it's reviewed by the Commission, which will decide one way or another. And what you're doing here is you are defining something that would have unintended consequences should you not define it as an adult person between 18 years and older. In the sense that if you don't do that and you just say a person, it would mean that we have really now not covered, I'm not sure how that works, but we've not covered pimps and other people, brothel keepers, whatever, in that list.
So may I introduce you? Basically what it means is we're dealing with role players in child exploitation irrespective of age with regards to children in this school. We have role players that are involved in adult prostitution that could be captured within offences that are in the existing Sexual Offences Act. By defining person across the board, we're saying that all persons that are
engaged
in adult prostitution, which would include your pimps and include your brothel keepers, we're saying all those people are criminalised, but the act is only typical of a person with 18 and older, which would include all the role players. What you're saying is irrespective of what the age of the role player is, there should be courts within the Sexual Offences Act if they're involved in adult prostitution.
Let's talk about the effect. The effect of this is what? That in terms of the old legislation, everybody who has anything to do with adult prostitution will be guilty of an offence. Is that the effect, I think, is it difficult to understand the definitions and why you have to do the definitions? But can we agree that if that is the effect, that anybody who has anything to do with adult prostitution, whether it's the prostitute, him or herself, or the pimp or the brothel keeper or whatever, will be caught under the previous legislation and that makes it illegal? Anybody want to say something? Correct. That's why the definition, but it's kind of is a double negative, it seems to me, how it's used in that sense. And that's why it becomes difficult to understand. But I think if that's the effect, I think you can take it that we agree, because that's been a principal agreement on our part regarding the state that whatever previously been dealt with as far as adult prostitution must remain in that act until the decision. Okay. So we're not changing anything. Good. Dr. Lowe.
Yes, Chairman. The easiest amendment, because it comes from this committee when you dealt with minimum sentences, that's on page 75, 76 of this two-page document. If the committee, remembering when you dealt with minimum sentences, you said the same criteria cannot apply to compelled rape as it complies in the instances of rape. So when we just had to separate the two and make separate criteria for compelled rape, and that's what you would see here. It's on page 76 if you can see how it's integrated now. We've taken it out
of the bowl, right?
Of the bowl, yeah. So it's taken out from weight, because we said there were certain instances where you just can't have a situation where the person compelled rape is the same as rape, and then it was just created, which was at that stage approved by the committee, the ground and compelled rape.
This is really amending the minimum sentence legislation to bring it to in compliance with what we've done in terms of rape. Remember the expanded definition of rape and consultation. So this is how they've phrased things done. We did a very quick job of it when we did the initial changes in the schedule. We just said rape and compelled rape, and we didn't then see what those specific details meant and how that would pan out. And I think this is just sorting all those difficulties out. Remember? Anybody want to say anything about this?
Agree.
Anything else, Mr. Lucia?
Nothing, thank you.
I was so hoping you
would. Sure. So quick.
Okay. One more thing. Related to our rejection of the NCOP's amendment, on the issue of grooming, I want to suggest that we do a similar thing in terms of the report by the department on any unintended consequences. Because remember, grooming is a completely new crime. On any unintended consequences pertaining to that 18.1c that they are suggesting we have that provide and that is thing. So we've rejected that, but I think we should ask the department to also do a similar thing in terms of a review of any unintended consequences pertaining to 18.1c. Very specific to 18.1c. Okay? And I think we'll be able to then pass those two reports as a completion almost with the NCOP at some stage in this committee. I'm not sure when. I'm happy to sit tomorrow. I'll look, arrange it and make it easy to look at the work. That's the first time in a long time that I've worked on this.
Global warming.
Okay, so we've now passed the sexual offences stuff, but we need to formally vote. Now, I want to suggest we won't obviously have a report before us saying which ones we've agreed to and which ones we've not agreed to, right? But can I propose to you, if you still trust me, that I can sit down with Mr. De Clear and develop that report, because clearly we'll have to say which ones we've rejected from the NCOP stuff in that report. That we can then sit down and vote, but we vote for that report for now. We will then distribute it to all of you, obviously, as soon as it's available. It should be this afternoon, Mr. Lucia. Yeah, no, I know about the students. Yes. Just hang on. Let's report first. We have to first formally reject those amendments. Then we pass a few. That's right.
Well, Chair, I understood that the mere fact that the committee has rejected some of these clauses now, we can go into Chair that season.
Okay, so what we will do is we'll say that the portfolio committee, having considered the sexual offences, blah, 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 report, and having considered the NCOP's report on this matter, report the wrong with a meeting. And then we just add the sealant. Can we agree to that? Okay, let me put this report in to you. Report of the portfolio committee on justice and constitutional development on the criminal law, sexual offences and related matters amendment bill. Date of 21st November 2007. The Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development, having considered the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Bill, G50B of 2003, and the proposed amendments of the NCOP announcements and tabling and committee report, 14th November 2007, page 2244. Let's hope that's the right. The right page referred to the committee reports the bill with amendments. I move it. Mr. Smith, Swart, Schaefer, Miss Johnson. Those in favor?
Have a good enough.
There's a poker face there when I saw one. Okay, unanimous, none opposed, and none abstaining. Members, thank you very much. It's quite an historic event, I must say, and I must commend you for very, very hard work.
Uh-huh.
It's the thunder on this occasion, it's the lightning, it's the storm, it's the cyclone, you name it. But thank you very much, and I do think that this is really, really good work that we've done. And I want to thank, on behalf of the committee, the drafters. I know that you guys have had a torrid time with this bill, particularly Ms. Clark and Mr. Desclée in particular. Mr. Desclée will want to explain what sadism is as an example of sadism. So this was apparently an issue that came up in the interview. It's got a very good answer. So I do want members to stay and listen to it, but CMG, you're not allowed to record this part. So please bear with us. Otherwise, you can just say the meeting is adjourned right now. Thank you very much, members, and thank you so much for your cooperation. Have a good rest, and those of you watching, to be hopeful. I'm saying that. He's going to explain what
sadism is. Okay.
The explanation that was given took me quite a while to explain the difference between the two. But in short, it entails the following, Madam Chair. A masochist will most probably say, hit me, baby, hit me, and the sadist will simply just refuse.
Thank you very much for all your